We're in the Gospel of Matthew with Elder Bob Lowe, and this is Scandia Bible Church. And welcome to the Scandia Bible Church Podcast, Classic Edition. Since 1929, our little country church in Paulsville, Washington, has been proclaiming the good news of God's sovereign grace. And while many preachers have come and gone, to this day, Scandia Bible Church continues to stand strong, faithfully preaching the Word of God. On Scandia Bible Church Podcast Classic Edition, we dip back into our vast recorded archives to share some sermons. Sermons that, while recorded some time ago, are filled with truth that is timeless. As a reminder, you can catch us online at scandiabiblechurch.org, where you'll find all of our current sermons as well as the classics. On today's classic program, Elder Bob Lowe takes us to the Gospel of Matthew with his sermon delivered on September 6th, 2009. Today's classic sermon covers Matthew chapter 5, verse 8.
Turn to Matthew chapter 5 with me, please. Whereas I have obviously been in Hebrews, if I can eliminate that hum we've got in here, but I don't think I can do it right now. Anyway, whereas we've been in Hebrews, I'm going to depart from that this morning, and I'm going to do it for two reasons. First reason is Louis Bond. The second reason has just been my schedule. And the first reason is simply because 2 weeks ago, when Louis was leading the opening reading, he was reading through the first part of chapter 5, and as he did that, there's one particular verse that really struck me and got my attention. And for the rest of the time that he was reading, I was kind of stuck on that verse and almost missed even turning on the tape recorder as a result of that. But anyway, because of that, I actually want to spend just a little bit of time on that verse. And we'll read this, and I'll let you speculate as to which verse that is, and I'll share with you in a little bit. Chapter 5, beginning right in verse 1. Starts out and says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and there he sat down, and his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth, and he began to teach. This is what he had to say. It says, blessed are the poor. And each and every one of these starts the same way. Blessed are, and then it goes on and says, for they. Blessed are for they. Blessed are for they. Over and over again. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And the verse that got my attention in particular and caused me to stop is verse 8. It says that the pure in heart are blessed, for they shall see God. And I just kind of got stuck there. Because there's two or three questions that immediately come to mind. First question is, do I have a pure heart? And the second question, maybe even more important than the first one, is, do I have a desire to have a pure heart? There's something in me that causes me to want to have a pure heart. Now, I want you to notice here, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, you can generally look at someone and you can tell. Blessed are those who mourn. You can look at someone and you can tell. Blessed are the gentle. You know when someone is gentle. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Well, you can get some insight there. Blessed are the merciful, those who show mercy. Blessed are peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted. But how do you deal with blessed are the pure in heart? How can you tell? Now, when you teach a class, you know, like I will sometimes do at work, more of a technical class, I'm teaching people who need to know how to do something. And so I can set down objectives for that teaching, and I can set down a criteria by which I can measure whether or not they have successfully acquired this. I'm able to separate. Okay? I can look at Susan this morning and I say, well, I'm going to put you in the pure of heart group. Okay? I can look back at Monty and I can see, maybe not, you know. And I've got Ann back there, and you know, we'll put all the women in the pure of heart group this morning. She's in the pure of heart group, and you know, I've got Tom, and he's, you know, you can put him in the. Well, there's a problem, isn't there? How do you know one when you see one? I mean, I can see somebody who's merciful, but I can't, you know, how do I know the pure in heart? But there's the verse. It says, blessed are the pure in heart. Turn to Psalm 24, because Psalm 24 addresses this same thing. Psalm 24, it starts off and it says, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, and the world and all those who dwell in it. They all belong to God. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. And then it says this, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Psalm 73, verse 1 says, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. And then we have the first song this morning, and you know, Daniel sort of asked in an email this week, he says, well, what's the sermon going to be so I can kind of pick songs that are appropriate to the sermon? And what Daniel doesn't realize is that we just don't do that. We never do that. And God just sort of comes along and he picks the music, and Daniel comes in and he sings the song, and the next verse I'm going to do is Psalm 139, verse 23. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Then you run into Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10. It says, uh-oh, the heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. The heart is more deceitful than anything else. Proverbs 28:26, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. But he who walks wisely will be delivered. Proverbs 20, verse 9, who can say, I have cleansed my heart, I am pure from my sin? Who can say that? Who can say that? I have cleansed my heart. Well, the heart is an interesting subject. And the heart reflects the person more than anything else does. Proverbs 27:19 says, as in water, face reflects face. We would now say in a mirror, face reflects face. So the heart of man reflects man. For the heart of man reflects man. Look at Mark chapter 7. Turn to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7 in verse 14. As after he called the crowd to him again, he began saying to them, this is Jesus speaking, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside the man which can defile him if it goes into him. But the things which proceed out of the man are what defile the man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." When he left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples questioned him about the parable. And he said to them, "Are you so lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not go into his heart? Because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach, and is eliminated." And he was saying, "That which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man." It says, from within, out of the heart. The heart is deceitful above all else. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, "The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills the heart." And you can look at Acts, in Acts chapter 8, when it talks about the Ethiopian, the eunuch, and he's cruising along in the chariot, and he's reading the scripture, but he doesn't understand it. And Peter is there, as Jesus, as God directed him, if you will. And what does he say? He says, "We're passing by this water." First of all, Peter explains and opens the gospel to him, explains what Isaiah is really saying. So they're passing by the water, and he says, "Is there any reason that I can't be baptized?" And Peter says, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." If you believe with all your heart. And he answered and he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Take a look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved," you're to put on something. Remember what it is? As you are to put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. And if you put on that kind of a heart, you will be able to do what verse 13 says. You will be able to bear with one another. You will be able to forgive one another, whoever has complained against anyone. You will be able to do that. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, in which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Hebrews 10, verse 12, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart." Let us draw near with a sincere heart, full of assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. in Paul's letter to Timothy in the second letter, chapter 2, verse 22, says, "Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." It doesn't say just to pursue them, but it tells you who to pursue them with. It says to pursue these things with those with a pure heart. It says with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. And in his first letter, chapter 1, verse 5, "But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith." The heart is mentioned over 670 times in the Scriptures, according to my computer program. Over 670 times the word heart shows up. Pure heart. How in the world do you get a pure heart? Take a look at Isaiah chapter 51. I'm sorry, Psalm 51. Pardon me, Psalm 51. Psalm 51, of course, is David's prayer after his sin with Bathsheba. And after the prophet had come to him and declared this, and David had a particular response. And remember, David is referred to by God as a man after his own heart. A man after God's own heart. What does it say? Let me remind you, too, that for each one of us who maybe has a desire for a pure heart, this is an appropriate prayer just for that. Because each one of us, as we examine our own lives, we find out if we're really, you know, critical with ourselves. You know, when you look at yourself, you don't always conclude that you have such a pure heart. I mean, some days everything goes well and, you know, you praise God. Other days everything goes wrong and, my goodness, the purity that you maybe desire just isn't there. Because if you do judge yourself, you look at your own heart, you won't find it to be as clean as you wish it was. At least you don't feel that way. It says, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity." Then you get to verse 10. I'm going to reverse verse 10. "O God, create in me a clean heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit." It says, "Create in me a clean heart." You know, I cannot create in me a clean heart, as hard as I try. I can show mercy, I can show a number of things that you see in those that we call the Beatitudes, but I can't create a clean heart. Only God can create in me a clean heart. In the same way that it is by grace that we're saved and it's not anything of ourselves, strictly a gift of God, in the same way it is God who gives us a clean heart. In the same way that the Scripture often speaks to us in the context of ask and you shall receive. If you have in your heart a desire for a clean heart, ask. In the same way that David, after that terrible sin with Bathsheba, when he was confronted with it, he asked God, he says, create in me a clean heart. Oh God, create in me a clean heart. Luke 12:34 says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Do you have a desire in your heart for a clean heart? So after all that, what is your heart? I mean, Scripture refers to it over and over and over again. Well, what does it really mean? What is it really? Out of 600 and however many verses there are that mention the word heart, how do you go through and you figure out? Well, it's easy. You look at Unger's dictionary and you get the definition that I've got right here. That's the only way. Here's what he says. According to thorough investigation and evidence of Scripture, in all its parts, the heart is the innermost center of the natural condition of man. That's all fine and good, but it's kind of scary too. Because the Scripture also says the heart's more deceitful than anything else. And it's desperately sick or desperately wicked. Who can understand it? Who can understand it? Who can say, I have cleansed my heart, I am pure from my sin? Probably not one of us. When you look in the mirror, as face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects the man. So now if I look across the room and I say, Susan has a pure heart, Ann has a pure heart, well, I don't know. I don't know. Bonnie has a less than pure heart. I don't know. But I can look at those people and I can say I see a desire for a pure heart. That's evident to me. And that's evident to God as well. Evident to him as well. So create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, indeed the heart is deceitful. It is indeed deceitful. Who can understand? But God, you have placed in us a new heart, a new spirit. You have placed in each one of us who calls upon your name, each one of us who has come to know you as our personal Savior, a new heart. And Lord God, you have written your law into that heart. And Father, when we sin, you are quick to convince us, to convict us by our conscience that that is indeed the case. And according to 1 John, Lord, as we confess those things, you are merciful and your grace comes forth and you forgive. Father, for each one of us this morning, I do ask that you would create in us a desire for a pure heart. And that, Lord, you would continue the work that you have already begun, bringing it to its perfect completion, as you intend to do. In Christ's name we pray this morning.
Well, that wraps up this classic sermon. Thanks again for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. Drop us a line through our contact page on scandiabiblechurch.org and let us know where you're listening from and how our church family can pray for you. As a reminder for your listening convenience, you can also catch Scandia Bible Church podcast on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio. We're here each and every Sunday for our current sermons, and you're always welcome. So pull up a virtual pew, or if you're in the area, drop on by. Scandia Bible Church is located in the beautiful Northwest in Paulsville, Washington. Until next time, for all of us here at Scandia Bible Church, may God richly bless you.